This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars. After the revolution in Cuba, the young Fidel Castro hired an official photographer by the name of Alberto Korda to chronicle his new life as a national leader. Korda followed Castro and Che Guevara, taking pictures of them as they met world leaders, went fishing, faced off in chess.
He even took that iconic image of Che, the one that's on millions of t-shirts.
That's Comrade Truffleman.
But my favorite images that Korda captured are of Che and Fidel playing golf. It was January 3rd, 1961, 2 years after the revolution, when Che suggested they go play a round.
You know, Fidel said, well, you know, I don't play golf, and Che did play golf.
Helping us tell this story is John Loomis.
I'm an architect and an architectural historian.
So Che and Fidel drove out to what was the ritziest, most elite country club in Havana.
And Che and Fidel romp around the bucolic green acres in full military khaki and combat boots. It's kind of magical.
Che and Fidel were captivated by this place, and they looked around and wondered,
what should we do with this? You know, this is a wonderful resource.
And some say it was Fidel's idea, others say it was Che's.
There, they would build an art school.
Che and Fidel decided they wanted to build the most gorgeous art schools in the world.
Castro was recommended the young Cuban architect Ricardo Porro. Porro was told that if he wanted to design the schools, he would have to do it almost immediately.
You have to end the project in 2 months to begin the construction. I said, but it's impossible.
This is footage of Ricardo Porro in 2004.
You take it or you leave it. I said, I take it.
Now, the art school wasn't just one school. It was imagined as an entire campus with 5 separate schools for 5 distinct disciplines. Ballet, modern dance, visual arts, music, and theater.
He recruited 2 architect friends. The 3 architects decided to build with locally made brick and terracotta tiles.
And so, the 3 architects began to erect their separate designs around the edges of the golf course.
Okay, I'm gonna throw journalistic impartiality to the wind here. These buildings are so beautiful. And each school has a clear story to tell, with very intentional symbolism.
The revolutionary spirit was the driving force of the design and the construction.
And this endeavor was so exciting that the schools basically opened while they were still being built.
Ballerinas pirouetted on the putting green. Painters set up their canvases in the shade. Violinists practiced in the forest.
It was this beautiful, joyous undertaking. Except when it wasn't.
Porro could feel that the values of the revolution were shifting.
I used to tell the other architects, try to do things fast, because perhaps one day it's going to be stopped.
After the missile crisis, after the Bay of Pigs, military defense was given a much higher priority than, say, creating the most beautiful art schools in the world.
So there was the money issue, but also, generally, Cuba was starting to imitate the Soviet Union in more and more ways. And some thought that the designs of the schools were overly extravagant. Porro began to lose favor within the Ministry of Construction.
Workers were slowly reduced, the amount of workers.
And in July of 1965, the schools were just declared finished in all their varying states of completion. The architects were scattered to different jobs within the Ministry of Construction.
In 1966, Porro left Cuba and moved to Paris.
And as for the schools themselves, the crazy thing is that they never closed. Today, the schools are known as ISA, ISA. But even in their current disrepair, the architecture speaks for itself.
The schools of ISA don't look like any other buildings in the world. They are Cuban. They are the product, victim, and symbol of a revolution. 99% Invisible was produced this week by Avery Truffleman, Katie Mingle, Sam Greenspan, and me, Roman Mars. Radio edit by Ted Muldoon. We are a project of KALW and distributed by PRX. More at 99pi.org.